Our scripture reading this morning is taken from John's Gospel, John chapter 11. We're going to read verses 17 through to verse 27. I would have loved to have read most of the chapter, but as you will see, John chapter 11, it's Jesus has, as we saw last week, that Jesus has healed this blind man, and he's made the claims about being the gate and the shepherd, the good shepherd, and he receives news that his friend Lazarus has passed away. His friend Lazarus is ill, and Jesus doesn't go immediately. There's a few days in between. So we're picking up on when Jesus actually arrives. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you who are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him? Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus went. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Amen. May God add his blessing to that reading, and may he indeed thrill us with that truth. Let's just ask God's blessing as we come to his word. Lord, as we come to your living word, Lord, we pray that indeed we might know a real sense of your presence here with us, that we might hear your voice. Lord, that you would speak to us, that you'd speak to us perhaps in our own need, perhaps in our own searching, in our lives. Lord, in our perhaps time of grief or our time of challenge in life, Lord, just encourage us with the hope and certainty of Jesus' promises to us. So, Lord, be with us, open our minds and hearts. Help us to focus and to be attentive to your word. that you might be honoured and glorified as we share together now round your word. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a story of three aged men who arrived at the pearly gates at the same time. As part of their orientation to heaven, it says that St. Peter asked them what kind of remarks they would most like to hear from their family at their funerals. One of them said, "I'd like to hear them say that I was a great doctor and a good family man." Second said, "I would like my family to say that I was a successful businessman and that during my career I gave away millions of dollars and I made a difference in many lives." And the third man turned around and said, "The only words that I'd like to hear them say is, 'Look, he's moving.'" That's a joke that's supposed to be funny. But yet the reality is, for most people, the vast majority of people, death is something they don't want to hear, they don't want to think about, because it's something that fills them, not just with fear, but it terrifies them. The reality of death. You know, we've been working our way through these seven claims of Jesus. I remember how all of these claims are quite emphatic in the original Greek, the way that the phrase is, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the gate or door. I am the good shepherd. And today we're looking at Jesus' claim. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he will live, though he will die, yet shall he live. What a wonderful truth that is. And you know, it actually is, that truth is one that enables us to face life in its fullest, to face each day as it comes, to face each challenge, each sadness, each opportunity in life. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, "For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also that have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." For Apostle Paul, he makes this point that, well, if there is no resurrection, if death is the end, if that's true, then we have no hope for the future, for eternity, and we have no hope for this life, because this life is pointless, it's meaningless, really. And life is unfair. Yet, Paul makes the point that that's not true. The truth is that Jesus has been raised from the dead, that Jesus has conquered death and sin. Here, as we look at this passage, this claim of Jesus to be the resurrection and the life, of all the sayings that I am sayings, this is probably the most central and confronting one of all of these saints. All of the saints are vitally important. All bring their own understanding of who Jesus is and the beauty and the wonder of Jesus' character, what he does for us. But this one is especially challenging because it deals with a claim that exceeds human expectation. The human expectation when death comes is, well, that's it, curtains, the end. That's the human perspective on death. Even in our passage, there's a touch of this, in the sense that there's this uncertainty. Lazarus was dead, and grief had consumed Mary and Martha. Someone that they had loved dearly in their lives was lost from their presence, and they were devastated. In verse 21, Martha actually expresses a regret that Jesus wasn't there. But it's almost an accusation. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And later, quite independently, Mary says exactly the same thing. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. In their view of life and of death, death was something that held no hope. And they had probably been with Jesus. They were friends with Jesus. Lazarus and Mary and Martha had probably been with Jesus when he had done miracles. And at this time when they're devastated and they're grieving, they thought that if Jesus had just been there, then Jesus would have healed Lazarus just as he had healed the sick. But now it was too late. Lazarus was dead. Lazarus was in the tomb. You know, I suppose it's something that many of us actually feel in terms of our view of death. Because death is something that we struggle with. Yet Scripture teaches us the reality of death as a natural part of life. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, we're told, by the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. That's the reality. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, we again are confronted by the reality of death. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men, because all sinned. The reality is that death will come to all of us. You know, it's the one thing that we can guarantee. That the statistics are really quite shocking when we hear it. 100% of us are going to die. Every single one of us is going to die. Yet what's our hope? Where does our hope lie? When perhaps someone that we love passes away. Where is the centre of our hope, even in that? Well, this claim of Jesus is the most powerful and central one that we really need to grasp and understand. For Mary and Martha, well, they just weren't quite sure about Jesus' power over death. They knew that Jesus could perhaps have healed Lazarus, yet they're still not quite at that point. Yet the reality is that this claim delivers the greatest human need. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die. In verse 23, Jesus tells Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Yet Martha's still struggling to understand. And she answered him and said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So Martha has this idea that, yes, there will be a resurrection, but it will be in the last day. In ancient Judaism, there was actually uncertainty over the resurrection of the dead. And in Judaism, at the time of Jesus, just to give you a little bit of background, in some ways it's a wee bit like sort of in the Christian world, where you've got the Roman Catholic and the Protestant. In ancient Judaism, you had the Sadducees, or the priests, and then you had the Pharisees. The Sadducees were like the sort of rich or noble people. They were the priests that served in the temple. The Pharisees, they were like the rabbis in the local synagogues. And we know that in the Old Testament, the Old Testament doesn't say too much about life after death, about resurrection. But the Pharisees said, yes, there would be a resurrection from the dead. Their interpretation of what the Old Testament said was, yes, there will be a resurrection. Yes, there is life after death. But the Sadducees, the priests, argued that there wouldn't be any resurrection from the dead. When you're dead, you're dead. That's what they argued. So in Jesus' time, in the religious culture of when Jesus was addressing them, this was the background. And there was just, you can almost sense this tension, this uncertainty in the mind of Mary and Martha. Yet Jesus makes this bold assertion that he is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he dies, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The way that it's actually phrased in the original Greek, and you don't have to worry about the Greek here, but the way that it's actually phrased is sort of revealing, in a sense, that it uses the present tense. In other words, it's active, it's what's happening now. And in Greek, that sort of had the meaning that, well, it's something that was ongoing. It hadn't completed, it was still going. And this is what Jesus says about that whoever believes, whoever lives believing, it's something that has relevance here and now. You know, the expectation of salvation and life is not something that's just reserved for, well, our hope for the future, for eternity. The promise that Jesus is making here about him being the resurrection and the life, that has relevance here and now. today in our lives, because it gives us not just the hope for the future, for eternity, but actually gives us that enabling and empowering to face life, to face the challenges, to face even death, and death of those that we love. Because we know that this claim of Jesus to be the resurrection and the life means that we need never fear. You know, it's something that has saddened me in ministry, is when you hear people say, and I actually heard this not, it was a while ago, it's not here, but I was asked by presbytery to go and assist a congregation that were going through a difficult time, and I met with the elders, and I was speaking with the elders, and we were talking about faith and belief, believing in the Lord Jesus. And one of these elders turned around, and this was his words: "We shall all die, but all we can do is send our good works before us to commend us to God." How sad! What a travesty! In that, even though he had sat under the preaching of the word, yet he failed to understand what the truth of the gospel is, what the claim of Jesus means, that he is the resurrection and the life. You know, that claim actually empowers us day by day to know that we have the certainty, because he is the resurrection and the life, that no matter what happens, we are secure. We're not hoping in the sense of wishful thinking. We're not trying to build up a point balance to get to heaven. We have certainty. When you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you know life. You have life. And it's not just a claim, but Jesus has actually fulfilled it. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 11, John says, "And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." With this in mind, we can face each day, we can face each challenge of life with confidence, knowing that when the end does come, it's not really the end, because we have the promise of eternal life in the Lord Jesus. We have that certainty. And this claim of Jesus also challenges us. It challenges our human experience. For most people, when they're confronted by death, whether it's death of a loved one or even their own approaching death, it strips bare all of the things that often people put their trust in. But Jesus makes the point that at this time, this is when we need to know this comfort. And it challenges us. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" This is a challenge that he gives to Martha. It's the crux, the pivotal point of this story. Jesus challenges Martha to make a decision of faith in him, not only as a friend or a good teacher or a healer, he challenges her to make a profession of faith in him as the Saviour, the Lord of life, the one in whom there is the resurrection and the life. If you look through this passage, especially in these couple of verses, again and again, you find that he talks about believing, the importance of believing. And I'll come to that in just a sec. But in verse 14, John says, "So then, Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe.'" This is what he told the disciples before they left to go to Lazarus. He's making the point that he has power over death. That in raising Lazarus, he's showing the reality of who he is as the resurrection and the life. And it was for the purpose so that you may believe. As I said, this word believe is important. It's actually repeated about 9 times in this passage. And when a word is repeated in a passage, it is affirming just how important it is. And this idea of believing, this challenge to believe, is central. You can see it here, even in these few verses. "The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." The key important thing is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, in who he is, in the hope that we have. And he challenges them with Martha with that challenge. Do you believe? Do you believe? And that's a challenge for each one of us today. Do we really believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Because it has a vital importance, not just to eternal life, but to your life here and now. In the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul and Silas are in prison and there is the earthquake and they could have escaped, but they didn't. And the jailer comes and finds them. And the jailer had them brought out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household." That's what's central. That's what's vital. And again, Romans 10, we have this assertion of what we need to have certainty for life, for death, for eternity. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in him in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. This morning, we can hear this challenge. We are confronted with that choice. As Jesus challenged Martha, so he challenges each one of us today. Do you believe? Do you believe this? That Jesus is the resurrection and the life? If you don't, then life is uncertain. Death is frightening. Eternity is even more terrifying. In Jesus, as a resurrection of life, we have certainty. We have hope, not just for the end, but for here and now.
I pray that each one of us has heard that claim of Jesus, that each one of us might respond to it. Do you believe this in your heart? That Jesus is Lord. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For it's with our hearts that we believe and are justified. And it's with our mouths that we confess and are saved. Pray for each one of us. We know that reality for ourselves. Amen.